Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's here?
This is Isabel. How are you?
Hi, Isabel. I'm good. You had a case, didn't you?
I did. I'm trying to send an updated Master Health Tracker. So I sent it through, it's shared through Gmail. And Lynn is helping me with it, and she says she didn't have access, permission to access.
I have no idea. So did you submit the case through the regular?
I did. I submitted the case, and then I submitted the health tracker, and then I have new information for the health tracker. So that's why I was trying to.
Oh, did you upload it, or did you just go to LinkedIn?
I did. I uploaded, and I also...
They didn't have a link to the online health tracker. You had a, is that right? If you update it, you don't have to. If you use like a link and you give a link to the health tracker that you want to use for these calls, if something changes, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You just edit it and we see.
Oh, okay. I know what you mean. No, I uploaded the.
So you uploaded it as an Excel sheet.
I uploaded the file. Yeah.
Now you're trying to upload another one. Why don't you just go submit the same form again and submit it that way?
But then I have to write out the whole case, right?
No, just say X, 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 X all the way through. Just say at the beginning, this is a repeat. I don't care. So the problem is she's not allowed. She can't open it because you're sending.
I'm going to put this. Sorry.
Send it to coaching at drritamarie.com or INE at drritamarie.com or something like that. That should work. Ooh, it's suddenly getting chilly and about to rain. I'm going to go shut my window. Give me a second. All right. So I guess I'm not understanding. So you made some changes to the master tracker and you want to upload the new one, correct?
Yes, correct.
So why don't you just email it?
Okay. I'm doing it right now. Okay. Yeah. So I'm emailing the link.
Well, you said is it an online one or you told me it was in Excel?
It was in Excel. So I could, I also, let me send you just both. Yeah.
The link to it, either way, I don't care. But actually, I prefer the link because that way we can have everything online and I can be looking at.
Okay. So I put the link in the chat.
Okay.
Yeah. I put the link in the chat. See if you can open it.
So and I updated the spreadsheet that has your responses and everything.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, okay. The case spreadsheet with this new link.
What did you do? You put the new link in. So before it wasn't a link, it was an Excel sheet. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then it's all uploaded into Google Drive, and I got the Google Drive spreadsheet link in the summary response. Sheet, you know, when somebody fills out the Google form.
Yeah, it's in that spreadsheet that it creates.
Correct.
All right, let me see. So I was just looking at it. I prefer to look at them in the individual responses with the answers, but so we'll do it both ways. Let me just open that one in a separate window. Responses.
Okay, I'm going to get off Zoom because I got to drive, but I'm on the phone.
Okay. All right.
You can be on the Zoom phone.
I'm on the phone.
Right.
Yeah, I'm on the phone. I'm just,
Okay, so you're just going to be on the phone. Okay, so there I have that. There I have the case. All right. Why is this nothing else in this form? Isn't this what we've been using? There's only one entry. Is this?
Yes, I hit it. I hit everything else because it was taking forever. And so it's all still there. I just hit it. So all you had to look at was just for this.
Oh, well, thank you. That really makes life easier. Okay, good. All right. So we'll go ahead and get started. Let me get stuff out of my way. Who's on? Lynn Rose. I thought I saw Who did I see earlier? Louisa, yeah.
So yeah, Louisa's here, Kim Walsh, Janet. That must be
Isabel on the phone.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on the phone. Right. Yeah.
So you won't be able to see what I'm showing, but we can why don't I show it to everybody and you can just tell, can you talk much while you're driving?
Yeah, I can talk.
I just don't want you to be unsafe. Okay.
I have my earpiece, so I'm good.
Okay, so that's that. And I prefer to look at these. I don't like looking at this way, I decided. But I do like looking at the way they format it. Here, where did it go? Where did it go? Oh, this is in my way. Let me get that thing out of the way. Okay, so I like looking at these because it's real easy to present. So Isabel has a female, age 7. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
You guys see this? Seeing it? Yes? Okay, so tell us, she has no children, clearly. All right, so tell us about it. It looks like she has a dermatomyositis, a skin rash, and muscle weakness. So tell us a little bit about her progress and, you know, all this stuff.
Okay. So I started working with her about a month ago. She was diagnosed late last year and with this autoimmune disease. Then what happened was they noticed a rash and then weight loss, lots of weight loss. Then it took a couple months for them to diagnose. Then after the diagnosis, the dad, he's very vigilant. So he did a total 180 diet change. So she's on vegan diet. She's doing no gluten, no dairy, no sugar, nothing at all. So they've been doing that since, I think, December or January.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, he was able to cut down the prednisone, like decreasing it, but up to, I think they decreased it to 4 milligrams, mm-hmm. and then symptoms start to show up.
Okay.
So this was like a couple months ago. Now she's back on.
She was diagnosed, and the symptoms that mm-hmm. were the rash and pain, I mean, weakness, was she in a lot of
pain? Yeah, she doesn't have joint pain. She used to.
Okay. And then so they put her on prednisone. Yeah. Something different. And he went and researched and they got her on the diet. And then they were able to lower.
Yeah.
How much prednisone were they on at the beginning?
I think it was 6. It wasn't very much, 6. And then they decreased it. And she made a lot of the symptoms went away. So they decreased it to about 4 milligrams. Then the symptoms came back.
All of them or some of them?
Mostly the rashes. I think all of them. All of them came back, but in a lesser degree. In a lesser degree. And now she's back on. I have to talk to him again. Now he's saying 15 milligrams. So I think they are going through a certain regimen that they're going to start high and then gradually taper her off with for.
They started her with 6 and now they're going up to 15?
Yeah. Yeah. Because her symptoms came back. Yeah.
Right.
So.
Way at 6. Why would they go to 15?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to him on Friday just to kind of get more clear on, you know, on that.
So that's the stuff. I've worked with people with dermatomyositis, and it's a very painful disease. And she as a full-grown adult, was able to get down from 40 milligrams of prednisone down to 4 or 5.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That. But, you know, in similar approach, right, going on with everything and looking at stuff. So I would be curious why they would say, oh, she was on 6, went down to 4, the symptoms came back.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just pump her back up to 6 rather than 15?
Yeah.
Right.
So, okay, I'll ask him about that.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right.
So when I met her, she's local, so I met her in person. When I saw her, she was on this all juice smoothie diet everything raw and just smoothie throughout the day and lots of fruit. So I noticed she was a little bit bloated. Mm-hmm. And the father said that she usually doesn't feel good after she eats and she's a little bit tired, and a couple hours later, then she's fine. So
is this something new since the diet shift? Okay, so I'm sorry I'm asking so many questions, but this is what we need
go ahead.
Asking, right,
yeah.
As we're mm-hmm. talking to people. It's like, so was the bloating there before she changed her diet? Or was the bloating after meals something new with the diet change?
It's something new with the diet change. She was fine. Like, you know, common things that child, you know, common is different from everyone's definition. But he didn't notice anything.
Yeah,
anything
so
out of the ordinary.
What is common? Okay, so again, mm-hmm. I'm going to be real picky here when you're doing a history with people, because they'll say, yeah, and that's just the normal, you know, kid stuff. Kids should not have GI symptoms, right? They should just be, you know, pooping three times a day and comfortable, and they get hungry, they eat, then they poop, and then they go back to playing. So, you know, that's a, that, those are questions to ask more of, right? Because mm-hmm. we look at what's going on in the gut. Maybe she's had, you know, given mm-hmm. they've changed her diet so dramatically, maybe she had some dysbiosis. Maybe she does have.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, that's what I was suspecting. So he cut down her food, not as much. And then also less fruit. She was eating a lot of fruit in her smoothie and also afterwards. So the bloating went away just pretty fast after like a few days, a week.
Okay.
Then she started having stomach ache, like almost after every meal. So I had him cook her food, lightly steam her food and then blend it. So after that, her stomach went away.
Okay.
So
it seems
she's
like
been doing well.
Raw stuff.
Yeah.
Like too much raw. She probably already had some issues going on with digesting, maybe low stomach acid. Maybe even given this is an autoimmune disease, maybe even a little bit of inflammatory bowel disease that just hadn't come to the surface, you know, so that it was too much raw stuff to be comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm suspicious about stomach acid though, when people get kind of bloaty.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to look at.
Okay. She was on Zantac. She was on Zantac, and then I sent the father, you know, articles about how if Zantac work or for they use that for coat the stomach so that for ulcer because she's on the different medications.
Okay, so wait, different medications. The only one you told me about was prednisone.
And Metrodex, I don't remember. If you look at the Master Health. Yeah. So she's also on that, and then they give her Zantac to relieve the side effect of that on the stomach.
Okay.
So I you know sent him a few articles. He looked at it and decided that to pull her off Zantac.
Put her on
so I told him
you
need to talk to.
All right. So put her on some slippery elm or marshmallow or plantain or DPL or something like that to coat her stomach and protect it, to truly protect it, not to destroy her digestion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're in the process of, we're doing that right now. And she's, this week, she still has stomach off and on, not as severe. So he's trying to play with the supplement because if you look in the supplement tab, she's taking protein powder. She is taking, I have her take amino acid, as well. And a few different, supplements. So she's kind of playing with it to see if the supplement is causing any discomfort.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I have her on glutamate. Well, that was recommended by another. He worked with different practitioners this year. And so I have her on 15 milligram. My question is that would that be too much?
I mean, it seems high for a 7-year-old. What does she weigh?
Yeah. She's
50 pounds, maybe?
17. No, she's 17 kilo.
17 kilo. So she's less than 30.
Yeah.
Or a little over 30, like 40 pounds.
She's a little small.
A tiny thing. Yeah. Well, yeah. She's had malabsorption issues. That would explain that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are her parents small?
She appears small, yeah.
But are her parents?
She has small? Like her. No. Her dad is 5'11".
Okay.
So her dad is 5'11", and mom is about 5'4", but 5'4". The mom is deaf.
Okay.
So the mom, I don't remember if he said she was naturally, she was born that way or she later had an incident. But anyway, the mom and the dad are not tiny. So she looks like she just have like small, skinny legs and arms and then have this little bit bigger tummy.
So before, here's one of the things that I'm really, really, I think is really important to do is asking people about what was going on in those years before all this stuff happened. Did she have ear infections and was on a course of antibiotics? Did she have a stressful home? Were the parents fighting? Was there a divorce? There's all sorts of questions.
Yeah. I'm suspecting there is, but there, he said it's like, the normal fighting, common fighting, stuff that goes on. But I'm suspecting there is, just looking, because I've been to their home a couple times and saw how they communicate.
Yeah. So maybe it's just if she's had gluten, if she's had a celiac, right? So you ask questions that, did she have how many bowel movements a day? Are they smelly, stinky? Does she rush to the bathroom? That sort of stuff. Because she may have failure to thrive based on having been gluten intolerant her whole life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so until that, just going off of it doesn't heal the gut, right, from the gluten. So it takes a while. And you're doing the right things with probiotics, glutamine. I'm not sure if that's, I watch with that kind of dose to make sure that she doesn't get anxious, right? Or nervous.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because in some people, and again, it depends on their genes. I'm careful with glutamate because in some people, due to their genetics, they end up creating glutamate. Glutamine, they end up with glutamate. And I've known people who, the doctor just kept saying, let's increase it. Let's keep increasing it. And she was like a basket case. And she finally said, this guy's a nutcase, and she left. And that was only 3,000. So 30.
Okay.
Milligrams or grams?
Milligram.
Oh, all right. That's tiny.
Gram. It has to be gram. One grams. Scoop is, I have the link right there. It's gram. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's grams. Okay. Let's change. I can't change it, but, so 15 grams. That's a lot for a little 40 pound person. Cause this was 150 pound woman. And at 3,000, she was like, anxiety and homicidal and horrific. So it could be, and I would have them whenever you're doing something like this, especially a powder, I would ease her up on it. Start with a little bit more, and then warn the parents, we don't know her genetics. Some people have the genetics such that this converts to glutamate and then they end up with some anxiety or nervousness or that kind of stuff. And that's the last thing you want for all this problem, right? It's an autoimmune condition. Mm-hmm. What are the three pillars of the main three pillars of autoimmune? Do you remember?
Stress, leaky gut, and also stress, leaky gut, and there's a trigger. So she did test positive for mold exposure. it was her house. Now she's in her grandma's house, so she's not in that environment anymore, but her grandma's house hasn't been tested. So, hopefully that's not an environment.
Separated from her parents, or did the whole family move to the grandma's house?
The dad did. I think her mom is still staying in their old house. I asked them, do you have mold? And they said, because when I went, it was like they have a lot of things and the building was old. And they said, yeah, they did find mold in the bedroom, like in other places.
Okay. How long has she been out of that environment?
She's been, I think she was born out of that environment just a month. Yeah.
So just a month. So 1 month. So
yeah, just a month.
6 months, gluten-free and on the better diet, and 1 month.
Oh, no, gluten-free. She's been gluten-free for almost 6 months. Gluten-free, dairy-free, all the right. sugar and all that.
Right, all of that stuff. The clean diet was about 6 months, but the moldy environment was only 1 month, right?
Correct.
So we're not going to see, you know, a lot of shift here, you know, until she's out of that moldy environment and can heal. So that could be a trigger. Now, you've got to look at the situation, right? She's living at grandma's and mom's still at, so there's a separation there, mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a stress on itself,
okay.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a stress.
Yeah.
You have to look at all these stresses and, you know, that's not something you can correct, but mm-hmm. you have to keep that in mind that those are things. And okay. I would be really mm-hmm. looking at a stress management component of her protocol, right? Teaching her how to tap, teaching her how to breathe and do heart math. There's a lot of great resources for teaching heart math to kids. Right? Teaching her how to meditate, you know, belly breathe. These are really, really important pieces of this because this is an autoimmune condition in a very young child.
And you
going.
The couple times I saw her, she didn't seem stressed. I mean, she was playing, she was talking to her dad. And then the only time she was stressed because the first visit I told her she couldn't have her bowl of fruit and she started crying. Yeah. Other time I visit them again, just a couple weeks ago. She seems pretty happy. I mean, just the short time, only the short time that I was there, she seems to be pretty, pretty happy.
I was going to say, kids and find out later that they were in an abusive situation, but they're just like, yeah, everything's fine here. Right. Lynn, you can attest to that. Thing, right? I'm just a happy-go-lucky little kid. None of them, my father beats me up and my mother hits me with a stick, you know? Right? So I'm not saying that that's what's happening here. I'm just saying, you know, to try to help this be very much of a learning environment for folks, right? Is that always have to just dig. And so providing some things that we know will have an effect on her sympathetic versus parasympathetic, right? If you were to hook her up to like a heart math thing, you could tell, is she in sympathetic or parasympathetic? Does she switch? Does she have the flexibility to go between the two?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll talk to the dad and bring up this topic and then have her practice a little bit more.
Yeah, just to have
mindfulness stuff. Exercise. Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so I don't mean to distract from the food piece and the gut piece, but especially in a little kid, my heart goes out when I see a little one suffering like that, and we don't want to miss something.
Yeah.
There's a really good book I wrote about it in last week's newsletter, and I'm really enjoying it, and it's The Healing Properties of the Vagus Nerve.
Okay.
God.
Okay.
I have exercise. I haven't even gotten to listen to part two yet. I've been listening to part one, but in part two, he gives some exercises that are a little easier to do than gagging yourself and sticking coffee up your butt, you know, to stimulate the vagus nerve. And he talks about the ventral and the dorsal parts. And you know, there's just, and there was this sense of belonging. That's part of that stimulates the ventral part of the vagus nerve, which activates the gut and the lungs and all this stuff. So it's just some things in there that they can learn to do and have.
Okay. So you mentioned something about coffee enema does stimulate vagus nerve.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Cause I always have big cramp after enema coffee, especially coffee enema.
Yeah. Well, that's what it does, but it, you know, everybody's a little different and it may be some other reaction to the coffee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll talk about that later, but
it stimulates my vagus nerve because I can't hold a thing after I take that coffee enema. I go, boom. Okay. Nice and relaxed. Well, that's what I was trying to do. Anyway, TMI, but, yeah. So glutamine, I would just be careful. Just knowing when you're working with some of these substances with folks, like how to explain to the parents about what to look for. You know what I mean? And this is Thorne Emerson. Was this Thorne? Yeah, Thorne glutamine.
Yeah.
So write that, you know, just say, look out for this. It doesn't happen in a majority of people, but I just want you to know that if it does, it's not unusual. Just back her off. Makes sense.
Okay.
But
okay.
I would a little bit makes sense. Like that. I would probably start with a milligram. You know, I would start, there's two scoops, one scoop, second time. I would probably, so it's probably five milligrams per scoop. I'd go with an eighth of a teaspoon or something. You know what I mean? Tiny little bit.
Okay.
And then
we'll do that.
Is this like TheraBlend or something they have, or is it the Bifido?
It's Claire. It's all the different 12 blends with Bifido and Lactobacillus, the different ones.
Right. Has the girl been on antibiotics?
She has. I think she has in the past. And she has in the past for like maybe once a year
at maybe. seven times. Yeah. Okay. For what kind of condition?
I think she has maybe, I don't remember, but I should ask, like cold, flu related.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of weird, right? Overprescribing of antibiotics, right? If she had ear infections or she had pneumonia or those sorts of things, people are just really, they're abusing antibiotics by giving it to people for a cold or flu because we know that they don't work for colds and flus.
Right. So, I remember the dad, I have to look at my notes, told me that she did have in courses of antibiotic. Like, again, he said, well, not, you know, the normal.
Yeah,
whatever,
the normal,
is.
Right?
Once a year,
My kids have had zero and they're both over 20. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the normal. That's what you're striving for, but it's not what's average, but that's what's normal that they shouldn't have to have any.
Yeah.
All right. So did they ever give heat? Was this before he got, you know, wise to this and started looking at nutrition, which is great. And I just want to admire this guy for stepping out like that, because usually when a serious thing like this happens, they just do this to the medical doctors and do whatever they say. So for him to jump out, and that's great, but likely in the past, he probably didn't know about giving the kid probiotics after antibiotics.
No, she was on pretty, you know, sugar, lots of candy, not much vegetable, that kind of diet.
Okay. Yeah. So they made a dramatic shift in her diet.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
So he did. So my question is for mold, to get rid of mold, there's obviously still, you know, toxins in her body and mold in her body. So then I was thinking about using Biocidin.
It seems really strong for a 7-year-old.
Is it?
I would start with a single as far as Biocidin, that's not more so much for toxins. That's for the microbes. I think it's way too strong for a little one.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And she had something really serious like that. And then I would go really slowly with what would I suggest for the toxicity?
She needs it in liquid form. She can't do capsule.
That's what I would prefer. You know, what about a zeolite? What about modified citrus pectin or zeolite or both? Because they're very gentle and they absorb and they pull without, you know, that's what I would do. And then maybe some, you know, liver support and, you know, dandelion tea, burdock root. Right? Hawthorn berry tea, you know, just get the berries and pour some hot water and make her a nice tea with that. Some of those, you know, gentle liver support kind of things.
Okay. And would it be okay if she adds, say, add a little bit of sweetener? Does stevia or anything like that?
Stevia, yeah.
Lohan, okay.
And you know what? Stevia is actually, I was, you know, we had our talk last week on the Lyme, but also for parasites, high doses of stevia is actually considered anti-parasitic and anti-Lyme. So, you know, the stevia would be fine. I mean, I think the doses that you do for that is a lot higher than what we do for for sweetener. But yeah, absolutely. Make it fun for her. You know, I know you.
Okay.
You just taken away every food she ever liked in her life, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, what am I supposed to be? Now I found this new healthy food, and now you're just trying to take me off the fruit too, right?
Yeah. So, I was like, that's the only thing that makes me happy. But I did tell her, she, is that okay? She has chocolate. I said, you can have like a square or two of the Lily's chocolate.
Huh? Yeah. I don't think that's
okay.
Unless she has, they have a little bit of sugar alcohol in them. So, you know, you just have to watch that she doesn't go get diarrhea from it.
No, she's been doing fine. She actually had more than what I recommended, but she's doing.
Yeah, you can't put this kid, it's just going to create a stress in the system. But on the other hand, like too much fruit. So you want to find that balance of fruit, you know, have her start with some berries and strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, that kind of thing. You know, how coconut yogurt with some blueberries on it would be a pleasant, you know, and it's going to replenish the gut. Mm-hmm. And, is she likely to eat something like kimchi, sauerkraut?
I think the dad did put some in the smoothie. He's able to get things and get her, you know, to eat certain, you know, all the smoothies and yeah.
You know, I'm concerned though, then when you said she got, you know, bloated and felt uncomfortable after the smoothies, that maybe he's putting a little too much.
Yeah, he realized that. So he cut down the amount after we first started working, and that seemed to relieve a little bit of the bloating, and then cutting down the fruit has helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And the D, you know, do they have any lab tests? Have they done, I'm sure the docs have done blood tests.
Oh, yeah. If you look at the master tracker, it does look like she has protein malabsorption.
Okay.
Her protein is pretty low.
Protein powder. Okay. I didn't notice what kind of protein powder did you put her on?
Thorn. I put her on Thorn, and then Thorn amino acid.
Why is this all weird? You see that there's like something covering it up. Isn't that weird? See, there's like this. Do you guys see that? This white thing? So I don't know what the numbers are here. Carbon dioxide looks fine. Chloride looks fine. Calcium looks fine. Protein is low. Albumin is low. Alk-Fos is low. So I'm suspicious of zinc, and zinc is very important for wound healing and digestion. Wound healing being, you know, cleaning up the damage from the autoimmunity.
Okay. I think I could find a liquid zinc.
Yeah, you can find a liquid zinc. Go dilute it. Don't use trace minerals because theirs is so strong that most people get nauseous from it. But something like Premier Research one is more dilute, and you can just have her do
okay.
it. Just be careful of the real potent ones. Right, so they don't have any others there. Okay, did they do her D? White cell count, red cell count is a little bit low, but not much. She's a kid, so she's only got to realize that. Yeah, so there's some sort of anemia going on here. You see the RDW being 17?
Mm-hmm.
Right, that should be like 13 or less. Hemoglobin is 11.9. I'm just wondering if they, and her red blood cell's a little low, but not bad. So there's definitely an anemia pattern here. Did they do an iron or ferritin? I don't know what's
above. So I should ask for their, her doctor to run iron and ferritin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, if there's some inflammation in the gut, she could have some internal bleeding. And it could be like a Guaiac test, you know, those are easy to do, but just the occult blood in the stool, they do that
They did a stool I'm waiting for the result. I think they did stool testing, and the father is still collecting all the data, and so far he said everything he sees comes back negative. but it's the standard conventional stool test that they
I would trust the occult blood, blood test of that, because it's hard to mess that one up. But as far as the microbes, that could be. And look here, like, right, she's got some tendency. It looks like there may be a bacterial infection of some sort here. Now, that could be just dysbiosis. It could be an imbalance in some of the commensals or maybe a couple of others in the stool. But 76 versus 17, her lymphs are very low.
If you click on up above the form, it says open with, it'll open it up in Google Sheets.
Oh, okay. That'll help. Thank you. Yeah. Does it work that way? Did you try it? Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Miss Researcher. Oh, it's opening. There we go. That'll be better. Okay. Yeah, I think it was just in a preview mode. Let's see. Okay, here we go. US results. That'll help me see what they've got here. Okay, they didn't even do a glucose?
No, they didn't.
How many people's brains are when they run labs? You're taking the blood anyway. Seriously? Let's just... glucose? And you don't know when you can miss a child with diabetes. Do you know what I mean? It's like, come on.
Yeah.
She's got symptoms. Measure her glucose. Uric acid, right? She's got myositis. She's got an inflammatory condition. You never know if there's some uric acid crystals forming somewhere. I mean, it's not likely, but I like to rule things out. Her bun is low. Her creatinine's low. So I think you're on the right track mm-hmm. with protein being low, protein malabsorption. Mm-hmm. That could be a temporary thing based on them having her on Zantac. Were these bloods taken while she was on the?
She was taking that. She was.
Okay. Yeah. So this may be that they lowered her stomach acid and then she wasn't able to absorb her protein. But it also could be they had switched her diet and she wasn't eating as much. She went vegan from not being vegan, I'm assuming.
Maybe
she was eating fish and meat and wasn't getting that anymore. Plus low stomach acid. So these are suspect and you'd want to see them again. But I think it's a good idea to have her on protein powder and amino acids just for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
Did they do vitamin D?
Vitamin C? No.
Yeah, I don't see it. Yeah.
No, I've asked them to ask for that. Vitamin D, right?
Yeah, vitamin D.
Yeah, they haven't. So hopefully he asked. Yeah, I'll check in with him Friday.
Okay. And what test did they do that they decided it was the dermatomyositis? Is it just
so they just he didn't send me the test. I think was it antibody? Would that be the test?
Yeah, so
how they determine.
Did they do there's a bunch of different rheumatoid factor,
mm-hmm.
which ones are usually ANA is one that they do for in general. So they probably did ANA, I'm guessing. But yeah, it'd be good to see.
Oh, ask him to send me. Yeah, he didn't send me that. Yeah.
All right. So your biggest, how can I best help you here? I'm sorry. I'm going digging into this because it's a very fascinating case and I really.
Yeah.
So
since their diet is, pretty good. And then I'm trying to introduce a little bit more different variety. So they're adding in a little bit more variety and more fun into the diet. Cause she was on liquid diet for raw diet for 3 months. Poor kid.
Wow, just smoothie. Did she lose more weight on that?
I think she did. Yeah, she was losing weight. Yeah. So the food part, we're just kind of trying to add a little bit more nutrient-dense food little by little. And I'm going to have her start taking omega-3.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely needs
omega-3.
Omega-3, and they even have turmeric, liposomal turmeric, if you can get her to take that. They have liquid liposomal from Seeking Health and others. turmeric is very anti-inflammatory, right? We're trying to get the inflammatory load down, so the omega-3s. And play with the dose on the omega-3s, because in some cases with kids even, you know, especially with brain trauma, we've seen kids get up to like 15 to 20 grams to get,
get
under control. So you start with, you know, start with a reasonable dose, get a liquid. There's a several of the.
The Nortic Natural has liquid, and I am, from the research I did, I want more EPA, right?
Yeah, more EPA than DHA,
Okay. So and what would you think? So what would be a safe dosage to start?
Are you going to go with algae or fish?
Fish, because I can find a liquid form in fish. In algae, unless there is one.
But the problem with it is you have to take more of it. So if you're going to do Nordic Naturals, they tend to be, I would say, start with like a total of 500 milligrams. See how she does.
Okay.
You know, they burp. A lot of times people burp with it if you go too fast and you give them too much. But I don't know. You know, it could be she's 40 pounds, so... I mean, you probably could get up between a gram and two, but have them be watching. Like say, look, this can be very anti-inflammatory. It may be helping with her rash. It may be helping with her joint pain. But I mean, it's hard to tell now that they put her on 15 milligrams of prednisone. So that's kind of hard to
know.
Whether it's that or the other, but then they can just try to bring her down again. But I think the turmeric could be very helpful. I mean,
turmeric. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if CBD oil, has anybody had experience with CBD? Is CBD oil in an autoimmune? Just at least.
Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be, I don't know that much about CBD oil. I don't know how open are they to use that.
Mm-hmm. Their Nordic Naturals has this one called Pro Omega LDL. And it, if I remember correctly, already has, I think this is the one. It has the, no, this isn't the one. There's one that has the turmeric already in it. It's a Nordic Natural that has the turmeric already in it.
Oh, okay.
No, that would be. And,
you mean the fish oil?
It's a fish oil, but it has
one less thing.
Yeah.
Omega-3 fish oils under the optimized curcumin. It also has NAC glutathione.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is that in liquid or no?
I'm looking.
No, this is a gel cap.
Yeah, she needs liquid. She can't take these caps.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Yeah, so just, you know, getting her a liquid and then getting her...
What do you think of Udo's? Because that's what I used with my kids was Udo's oil.
It's mostly
which
omega
oil?
6. I would
Udo,
not.
Udo.
You maybe can have autoimmune disease, but Udo's is mostly omega 6. You know, it's a 3-6-9 blend.
Right.
But who needs to take extra 9? It's in the food. Most people don't need extra 6. So let me see what's in it. I've never been a fan of Udo's just because of that. It's got, most people don't need to be adding more omega 6s. They get plenty of it in their food. That's why.
It has 6 grams of omega 3, 3 grams of omega 6, and 2.5 grams of omega 9. It's organic flaxseed oil, sunflower seed oil, sesame seed oil, coconut
it's
oil.
It's not preformed. That's my concern.
Okay.
Right. And in somebody who's already got an autoimmune disease, that's a maintenance for kids, for healthy kids, you know, awesome. But I think that in somebody like this where she's got an autoimmune disease, you can't take the chance that she's going to be able to convert flax oil into omega-3, right? So into EPA. So I think you're right on track with doing it with the Nordic or, you know, the algae oil. Nordic used to have a liquid, plant-based, algae-based. I don't know if they still
That's
do.
That's what I thought. I didn't see that anymore. I didn't see it. So
yeah, I think I might have heard that they discontinued it because it wasn't so popular. I use one called Deva, D-E-V-A, Deva. And there's a couple.
Okay, D-E-V. And is that liquid?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I think that the issue with those, with the algae-based ones, is they tend to be more DHA than EPA.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I have to look at a few, and the one that I found was, I did find one that's adult dosage. They're just going to take a smaller amount that has more EPA than DHA.
Yeah, so the omega does have, I think it's the pro-omega, something like that. That's what I would tend to recommend, but just go slowly with it. She's only 40 pounds, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Then I would look at a liposomal turmeric.
Okay, liposomal turmeric. Okay.
Yeah, seeking help.
Okay. And then the pectin. Yeah, Citrix pectin to pull out. I think my...
What's it called? The Pectisolve.
Okay.
Or zeolite actually comes in liquid ore. It's very expensive in liquid. And it comes in powder as well. And they will grasp on to things. And then the liver support, like food-based liver support, right? Dandelion tea, burdock root. And she can make, you know, chop up the burdock root with some, you know, carrots or whatever. Makes a nice little meal with sesame oil.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But just go, you know, whatever her, it sounds like her tummy's a little bit raw right now. So I go easy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and with the
I noticed that.
Sorry, what I was going to say with the omegas, especially with a little kid, you know, rather than giving them yet another thing they have to take, another spoonful of this, a spoonful of that, is to mix it in with food. You know, as long as it's a small amount.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
mix it in with avocado or nut butter or something that you know she's going to eat.
Okay.
And get it down that way. Cause sometimes it's just like, really? You want me to take one more thing? Like, seriously? Like, and they, you know, a lot of the kids, the autistic kids are working like the ASCO protocol or something like that. It's just so challenging for them. They're picky as it is, right? 7-year-olds. Oof. It sounds like she's amazing if she's willing to do all this.
Oh yeah. Jeez. I was like, oh, I don't even know if I could do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but she knows she wants to be better. So, but ginger, if you can get her to tolerate it, if her stomach tolerates it, but ginger is another one, mm-hmm. really, really powerful.
Okay,
you know, and getting the gut cleaned, like, you know, see what they if they can give you this the stool test and see if it stacks up to what we're used to doing.
Okay.
Right. Probiotics, I always warn people, you know, whenever they start, if it's a multi-strand especially, is like, just watch how you feel. Go slowly. And if you start to bloat, it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Just back it off. It just means that they're having a war down mm-hmm. there, you know, and we want to get rid of them, but we don't want to make the kid uncomfortable. We don't want to get her to a point
yeah,
where
she, so she you know. Yeah, she's taking a very small dosage. I think she's on like 10 billion right now. And so far, so good.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Looking to see.
So
curious, you know, just looking back at her labs, right, with that very low bun and where are we? I can't find my, is this it?
Her pH is high. Urine's pH is high.
Like how
is
high?
That what? I think down there it's not. It's a 7. I put it at, all the way at the bottom. It's a 9.
So usually pH very high means it's very low and the body is going into emergency buffering mode. So, you know, when it gets higher than, you know, in the low 7s is where we look at like high 6s, low 7s for good pH.
Uh-huh.
But if you get up to like 7.8 or 8 or 9, then it's usually that the body is perceiving an emergency. And it's producing a lot of ammonia to bring that down.
Okay.
To get rid of
yeah, I think it's, okay. Okay.
That's usual because there is, you know, there's a balance here and it's not good to be too acidic or too alkaline.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so I should have them redo the test. She was at 9.
Well,
if I remember correctly.
They can do it on a regular basis and do it throughout the day and see if there's different times a day that it's different.
Okay. Okay. So that was from the doctor's office. Yeah.
That was from the doctor's office. That was just like then whatever urine that they went in and did a random sample.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Have them spend $10 and get a roll of pH paper and test her. They sound
okay.
Like, he sounds like anyway that he wants to be empowered to take charge of this. So.
Yeah. So throughout the day. Okay.
Yeah. Just have them take it like before a meal, after a meal, see what affects it, how it is in the first thing in the morning, last thing at night. Yeah. The urine pH taken to the doctor's office. You just don't know when that random sample was taken and what she was doing right before. And But that does seem high. That definitely seems high.
Yeah, that seems high. Yeah, I noticed that. Okay. And she did have a Zoomer test, so that confirms leaky gut. She had high, I put on the tracker, there were two markers that were high that indicated leaky gut. And
is it at the bottom?
It's in the tracker. I put in the symptom in the first
column. Mm-hmm. Oh, the LPS is, wow, the LPS.
Is that like in Zoomer, that was in control, the LPS numbers? They had those markers, those numbers were in control number. It wasn't a red flag with those
values.
Then
it's a different lab, because these were based on Cyrex, the intestinal
permeable. Okay, so it's probably a different range.
But these were
or different units, yeah.
Different units, yeah.
Okay.
In the goals, you had her. Oh, where did you put it? You said you put it in the goals.
Oh no, I put it on the first. Let me see the second page where it has the second tab, the symptom timeline.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Mold exposure, some days worse with accompanying stomach pain. Seems to have stopped short and relieved with. Okay, so that's getting better. This is the mold she found. Wow. Tuesday 9, elevated anti-zonulin, high risk elevated anti-actin, and then the LPS was in control. Yeah, these numbers look different. All right, so zonulin and actin, so actinomycin, it's like the fibers in the wall that control the tight junctions. So,
Okay. Yeah,
definitely leaky gut. So that's the thing. What else can you do for leaky gut? Well, the probiotics, getting rid of any bugs that might be there if there is a candida overgrowth. You know, there's other things besides glutamate. I mean, slippery elm might be a good thing, especially since they stopped the Zantac for coating your stomach. Slippery elm could be a good one.
Okay.
And then
so
just
what is,
being patient and letting, you know, she's gotten out of the moldy environment and she's gotten off of gluten, and gluten was confirmed as being an issue, right? So she's a DQ8 homozygous, right? So you got to get the gut healed and give it time. I think turmeric, boswellia might be something you can get as a liquid.
Okay.
And that helps to heal the gut. They use that a lot in Crohn's disease.
Okay, colostrum. I haven't used it. I don't know how effective.
I haven't used it. A lot of people do. As far as the protein, you might consider one of the newer. Whoops, what did I just do? The newer proteins. The what's it called? Health Force. Sun Warrior has one, and then Glow. Amazing Grass has one called Glow, that are collagen support, and that may be really good for healing. For helping with a leaky gut situation. I mean, they haven't been out and around long enough to have any, you know, tried and true tests for them, but it makes sense that all this collagen support nutrition could be helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just keep the diet good and healthy, good omega-3s, you know, really look at the omega-3-6 balance. You know, the thing that we have in the spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Because if she gets the way of omega-6, then it's going to be pro-inflammatory and we want to get her to anti-inflammatory.
Okay. Okay.
This is a complicated case, Isabel.
Yeah, this is very. When I first heard was talking to the dad, I was like, oh my gosh, 6 years old, 7 year old dealing with this. This is,
Yeah. But the good news is, you know, she has the homozygous DQ8. She's had celiac since she was born. So that explains her size, you know. I'm sure they fed her birthday cake and teething biscuits like every other well-meaning parent, right?
Yeah.
And so she's been doing that ever since, and it's been building up, and it created an autoimmune. And the good news is it can be reversed.
Yeah. So when she has the gene, that doesn't mean she's celiac, right? Didn't do anything to confirm. She just at a higher risk.
Who cares? You're not going to go put this poor kid through she has those genes, and if she's been eating gluten her whole life and now she has an autoimmune disease and she has leaky gut confirmed by the zonulin and the actin, I would say, huge contributor.
Okay, good. It's been very, it's very helpful. That's great.
Don't let her lose
some of the stuff that I looked at.
Don't let her lose more weight. Coconut can be a good source of fat and good source of oil that can be helpful. It's not going to throw off the 3-6 ratio. In fact, it can actually help the conversion of, say, flax to flax and chia and whatnot in.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for sharing such a good case.
Thank you.
Anybody else have questions or comments? I see a lot of chats. Anybody want to contribute? Let's see. I'll read it out loud since you're only on the phone, Isabel. Yellen, it's raining heavy here. I hope we don't lose power either. I wouldn't do HCL enzymes in a kid this small. Enzymes, sure. Yeah, but not HCL. I wouldn't do that right now. I would work at rehealing her gut and bitters. You know, bitters can be helpful. Even something, you know, you want to confirm it with the iron ferritin, but I have a suspicion that she has some anemia there. And I would say yellow dock can be good. Yellow dock is a liver support herb that's good for the skin, but it also helps support the production of stomach acid and it contains iron. So you might want to look at that. But really look at the stool test when you see it, when it comes back, just to see if they did test for occult blood. I'd be concerned about that.
Okay.
All right, let's see. And Rose, physical organs related to the solar plexus. Oh, that's Lynn DeVere Johnson. Solar plexus chakra. Digestive function, liver, gallbladder, stomach, spleen, small intestine, pancreas, autonomic nervous system, lumbar vertebrae, diaphragm, and immune system. So you're having trouble with health issues related to these areas. Your solar plexus chakra is likely imbalanced. I wonder if her mother's hearing deafness is an autoimmune condition. Yeah, that would be good to know what her deafness was caused by. Was she born with that? Is there a gene? And, you know, I know she doesn't know anything different, the girl, right? Because she grew up with a deaf mother, but deaf mother, now she's living with her father and her grandmother. It may not be something that is showing on the surface in terms of stress, but that there's some going on in there.
Okay.
And there's the emus, okay. So they're biotic complete. That's what it sounds like she was given her, because that is a 12 strain. One says, can she take Epsom salts bath? Maybe add in lavender. Like that. I like the binders from Microbe Formulas, but they aren't liquid. Oh, the binders, Microbe Formulas. Are they capsules, Lynn Rose? Or are they powders? Yeah, I asked this and I don't know that I got it either. Is she regular, constipated, diarrhea, what?
She's pretty regular. She goes to the bathroom once or sometimes twice, and I asked her about the size and you know, what it looks like. Seems like she's pretty regular. Her bowel movement is pretty good.
Okay. Cilantro chelation therapy is what Lynn recommended. That could be good. I mean, you can even make cilantro pesto, right? Where you blend up a bunch of cilantro.
Okay. Yeah.
Pumpkin seeds or some walnuts, you know, good sources of omegas and zinc. The pumpkin seeds are good sources of zinc. Yeah, I know with the cilantro, some people poo-poo it and some people think it's good stuff. Oh, look, source oil, water extracted algae omega-3 oil. Do you have is that the brand, Brandon, source oil? I'd like to know more about that. Is he still here? Brandon, open up your line. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm still here. Yeah, source oil is...
Oh, put it in here. Great. So tell me, they make it from algae and they water extract it? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know exactly the process, but yeah, it's water extracted
algae oil, and it'll come in just like a tiny little bottle.
Let's see.
It's a really thin oil. It's pretty much tasteless too. It doesn't taste like algae or kind of seaweed or anything.
Oh, wait, it's 50% DHA. Does that mean it's 50% EPA too? That's what we're looking for, is the higher EPA.
That would be nice.
That would be. Let me see. I'm looking at it now. So you know what it has, the way it lists it, and this makes me think it's just a little bit of EPA. It says like 300 to 350 milligrams DHA plus EPA is written in tiny letters. So I feel like it's probably mostly, like most of them are, mostly DHA. Not that she doesn't, you know, not that she necessarily needs to stay on a higher EPA forever, but given where she's at right now, my goal would be to reduce the need and the intake of those steroids and whatever we could do to get, you know, even if it's not plant-based, if it's food-based stuff, to get her levels under control.
So would it be appropriate for us to make recommendations on her medication, and how do we suggest that?
No, you just give them education and say the doctors are going to help you, but what we're trying to do here is to give your body enough anti-inflammatory nutrition that it will reduce the need, and the doctors will work with you to reduce the steroids.
Yeah, okay.
That source oil has one that's just for kids.
What's it got in it?
I don't know. I'm trying to look it up. It's called Pure One Next Gen Plant-Based Omega-3. I just noticed it when I was looking at.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff in here, Isabel. So after the call, when we load this up, make sure you take a copy of the, take a look
chat.
At that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And we have access to the chat, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's also posted.
Yeah, we just posted. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Say, Brandon said I made water kefir from coconut water, which helped. Well, so Brandon's a good resource here because he's had inflammatory bowel disease and a ripped up gut. Mm-hmm. Kefir from coconut meat seemed to not do well at all. Huh. Just from the water, and raw goat's milk worked as well, huh? So Brandon said he used raw colostrum for a year straight and it didn't help. Kefir did, though.
Okay.
Huh. As long as you have her on protein powder anyway, and it's good to alternate proteins and not be on the same one all the time so you don't develop a sensitivity, especially with leaky gut, right? So I would look at the Sun Warrior and the, what's the name of the other one? Glow. It's called Glow, Amazing Grass Glow. Because they've got about 15 grams of protein per. It's all plant-based protein. And then it's all these plant-based nutrients that supply the right blend of amino acids plus nutrients to help support collagen repair.
Okay, good.
Okay.
And when will the recording be up?
What's today? Tuesday? I would say, you know, if we're lucky tomorrow, but usually by Thursday.
Isabella,
okay, that's great.
I was going to say, if you need me to, I can get you the temporary recording and you can have that.
That's true. You can also go into Zoom and just do the Zoom link. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. And look at the chat. Yeah.
And then you can look at the chat right there. Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, this has been really, really helpful. Yeah.
Good. Good. Thank you. Thank you for supplying that. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Other cases you want to discuss? Otherwise, I'm going to go to bed. I didn't get to bed till 5:45 last night. Yeah. Trying to make up for being gone and trying to get something finished that needed to be
this morning?
Yeah, left for an hour and a half. And I was up at 7:30. Yeah, well, I just woke up.
I was bugging you at 7:30.
I saw you bugging me at 7:30. But I just woke up and, you know, I probably had one sleep cycle and I woke up at the end of it. But I didn't feel too bad. I mean, if you wake up in the middle of a sleep cycle, you feel really gross. But I felt pretty okay. All right. I'm going to open up your lines so you can say goodbye to each other if nobody else has any questions. There's Janet.
I want to know who's going to be at the retreat next week.
Yeah. I think
I'm going to be there. Yeah, I think I'm going to be there.
Oh,
I'm excited.
Yay.
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. It's
I'll be there. Fun.
Who's going to be there?
Valerie,
yep. And Brandon, you're coming, right?
I will be there.
Yay.
I'm excited.
Yay, we're excited too. Kim, what about you?
Is it open? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
No, I've got other plans that weekend. I'm not going to be able to make it.
Oh, bummer.
I know. It'll be fun. Bummer. But I did, Dr. Rita Marie, I did want to thank you for one of the calls. I think it was a couple weeks ago. You mentioned the Cox technique.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I've had terrible neck pain for probably over a year. And so I found somebody in my area who does it. And I've been going to him and it's actually getting better. It's not, I mean, it's like two steps forward, one back, but it's going in the right direction.
Yay. Yeah. I love that technique. Who did I talk to today one of our ERC people was talking about, and she shared with me some of her x-ray findings, and I'm like, oh, you need the Cox technique. And I'm hoping she does it, because I have literally that technique has, if I ever had miracle cases, that's what I've seen with that. I have literally had people who are, I have stairs in my office. So I hobbled up my stairs. We worked on them. I worked on them for like an hour and a half with the Cox technique and the acupuncture and all the stuff that the Cox technique teaches, and had them like hop down the stairs. It's, you know, people who are supposed to have disc surgery, a second one, this guy came and he was in this like a hard brace. No, it wasn't even a soft brace. It was they fitted him for it. It was like a cast that they used to put on kids when they broke their arms. They may still do it for some cases, but mine never had it. But that's what he came to see me with. And within 2 weeks, his wife came in. He sent his wife in. He says, my wife's been having neck problem. If you can fix my back problem, you'll clearly be able to help her neck. She comes in and she said to me, thank you for giving me back my husband. We hadn't had sex in 2 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Do you have a table? Do you have one of those?
I have a table. Yeah. I don't have the official Cox table.
Yeah.
When I started my practice, I bought used equipment. Yeah. So I have used tables and they're still working that I bought used 27 years ago.
But it works the same as the Cox table or?
It does. Mine's manual. His has an electric component to it, right? You can set the things. I have to crank it and pump it. So that's how I built up my arms.
Well, yeah, so he did take an x-ray and I do have degenerative discs. You do. Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
But hopefully, I don't know, can those regenerate or, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, it can. They have to plump up, and that's what the space, you know, when you're doing this technique, you're separating the vertebrae, and the disc then gets to get sucked. It actually creates this vacuum, and the disc material gets sucked back in to where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and hydration is super important for that, and collagen support, you know, all the stuff that we know about, really important.
So, like, collagen powder would be good, or...?
Yeah, the one I was just telling, I'm excited about the ones that are not actually from animal bones. I'm a little concerned about, you know, lead and all the other stuff that's in animal bones. But the one from Sun Warrior and the other one from Amazing Grass.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks.
Yeah. Good job. I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, no, I was so happy to see there was one pretty close to me.
Good. Janice, are you coming?
No, I won't be there. Wish I could.
Wish you could too. I know I don't see Janine on tonight, but Janine's coming. And so, well, I don't remember everybody that's coming. There's a list of whatever number, 20, 25. Good. Well, I'm going to miss you, Janet.
I know. Not this time.
Your name is on the list, though.
Well, it was, and then my friend's celebration of life for her husband is that weekend, so, yeah. So I can't.
Okay. Well, wishing you some...
See you in September.
Yay. All right. Well, I'm going to go get some sleep tonight, finish what I have to finish, and... Go for it. I think it stopped raining here. Is it still raining by you, Lynn Rose? Lynn Rose lives about an hour from me. Is it an hour from me where you live? Is she gone?
Yeah, maybe she did
lose her power.
Yeah, because
lots of thunder. Okay, she's gone. So maybe, yeah. All right, guys. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for bringing the case.